Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of How We Scaled, brought to you by Jeff Brandeis Coaching and Training. And of course, I'm your host, Rye Russell, and I'm always so excited to meet with the entrepreneurs that can help us get out of our own way and help us scale. And so, Bob, thank you so much for making the time for us today.
Rye, I appreciate you making the time for me, and I am ready to go. Let's do it.
Well, we have so many individuals in our audience, and they are all across the board in terms of their business development or strategies, kind of coaching in their businesses. And so I'm always fascinated to find out, because everybody's got that non-traditional, unique journey to being here with us today. And so, Bob, I need to know, what was your untraditional journey like?
Well, my untraditional journey started in New York when I was born, and I moved to South Florida down here. We were just talking about where we live, and my parents wanted to get out of the cold weather, so they moved down to South Florida, and I grew up mostly down here. And to make a long story as short as possible, I moved back to New York to go to college at Hofstra University, and that was in 2001. I had just graduated college. And in a period of about 2 weeks, I went from kind of being that invincible college 18-year-old athlete going up there to play football. And in about a two-week period, my life was turned upside down. I was diagnosed with cancer, and all of a sudden, things were crazy. And I went through a whole process and all of this testing and everything. And my parents were coming up to see my first college game, and they knew at this point that I wasn't going to be playing in the game, but I actually met with an oncologist. Now picture an 18-year-old who doesn't know what's going on in the world. You know, you're not ready.
You know nothing.
Society. I meet with this doctor. He looks me in the eye, and by myself, he's like, "Oh, Mr. DePasquale." And first of all, I'm like, "Mr. DePasquale, I'm 18. Don't call me that." And he's like, "You have cancer." And I'm like, "What? This is crazy." So my mom called me from in the car. This is, cell phones were like barely, you know, moving at this point.
The bag phone
calls me. So my mom calls me, and she's like, "Oh, how'd the appointment go?" And I'm like, "Well, let me tell you." So obviously I told her what was going on, and I could hear my dad in the background, like flipping out, like, "What's going on?" He knew something was wrong. So we went to my uncle's house, and I remember my family's from up there. So my parents were going to stay at my uncle's house, and we shed some tears and kind of figured out what we're going to do. And the next couple of days were a blur. My uncle's best friend comes over, actually gives my parents his car, just says, "Here you go. I can't imagine what you're going through with your 18-year-old son. Here's my car. I don't need it. I'm not busy. I can, you know, use my family's other car, whatever." And they were like, "Wow, this is amazing." And we're like, "Tim, thank you." His name was Tim. We had never met him because we were living in Florida. So he was his best friend, but we didn't know. So fast forward a couple of days, my oncologist had told me to still take classes in college, because you even if you're going through chemotherapy, you have to function. You got to keep your mind fresh. And so Monday morning, went to my first college class. It was great. I was like, "All right, this is pretty cool. I can handle this." Second college class on Tuesday morning, I came out of class, went to the cafeteria, and you know those tube televisions before flat screen TVs?
Yeah.
It's hanging from the corner, right, of the, and you watch the news or whatever's on in the cafeteria at this time in the early 2000s.
Like a 500-pound block hanging on a wall.
Yes, you got it right, exactly. That thing must have been 8 inches wide and 1,000 pounds. And all of a sudden, a plane hits the Twin Towers. And I'm like, "Oh, that's crazy." So I call my dad, who's back at my uncle's house, and we're talking for a minute, and then bam, another plane hits it. And we're like, what is going on here? He's like, you better come back to the house here. So I hopped in the car. And remember, I'm in New York. It took me 9 hours to make what would traditionally be a 15-minute drive. Ran out of gas in my uncle's neighborhood. We pushed the car into the house there, into the driveway. And my aunt is hysterical because my uncle was supposed to be flying home from Denver that morning or later than the previous night. And we couldn't get a hold of him. Thank God, finally we did. He called and we were like, I'm okay. What's going on? Are you guys okay? And everything was fine with the family. But we found out that Tim, my uncle's best friend, was actually in the tower and he perished that morning. And
so sorry,
I mean,
to hear that.
In this 2-week period, I went from on top of the world to being crazy. So my journey traveled through that. It took me 2 years, honestly, to really mentally get through, process all of this. Thank God again, my treatment, I was okay. Here I am today. It's 20 years later and I'm healthy adult. So thank God for that too. But I went through a very, very tough period of time mentally because I just powered through at the time. And then my wife and I got married in 2007. So this is about 6 years later. And we've had conversations about this over the years. And I've had other minor health issues. But I always remember that time in my life and how you can go from being on top of the mountain to being in chaos in such a short period of time. And so I try to count my blessings and be thankful for the things I have every morning because you just never know.
Now, you say that you push through that. And we have so many people in our audience that are entrepreneurs or in business development, right? And there's blocks in front of all of us. And I think everybody here has the ability to do really incredible and powerful things. And I think sometimes it's this process that you talked about that sometimes gets in our way. And you mentioned pushing through that. But how do you push through that? And is pushing through it enough?
I don't think pushing through it is the right way to do it every time. I think some consistency and some perseverance are very important. But I think we can sometimes over-glamorize those things. So to answer your question, it's not enough because I think pushing through is something. It's almost like your fight or flight response of humans, right? When something goes wrong, the most determined people can get through it. But those are things that you cannot just get through. Eventually, you're going to have to process. And not everyone's going to have an experience like 9/11 or a major health scare or something else. But there are little things that chip away at you over time, and in some strange way, the small little things that chip away at you over and over again can almost be more draining than one big event because it's isolated. You know what it is. And I think sometimes as business owners and entrepreneurs or people who are trying to make a positive impact in the world, we get so determined to push through that we don't account for those little things. And that's why for me personally, when I get up in the morning, I always consider the things that are great in my life. And it enables me to break down the things that are going on, whether good or bad. So when I think of the good things, I also think, okay, there's some things that maybe are stressing me out and I need to verbalize those, whether it's writing down. I was talking with someone the other day, they're telling me about the gratitude journal that they have. And not everyone writes. Maybe it's something like this on a podcast and sharing it with people, but you have to express the things. You cannot just always push through.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm interested in, let's fast forward 5 years, 10 years from, you know, these events that happened to you and around you and in your world, you pushed through it, but there had to have become a time when that wasn't enough, when you were not seeing the success, whatever you defined that as. I can only imagine that there had to have been a point in time where you, just pushing through wasn't enough and you finally figured out how to process that. And I'm curious, you know, I think everybody has a different way of processing. And so I'm wondering if you mind sharing how you processed and kind of got through these things.
Yeah, I like the way you asked that question, because it really is how I process it. And that's going to be different from other people. So I don't have a magic pill or bullet theory for everyone. But I think for me, I grew up an only child. So I always joke, my parents kind of gave up after me. They're like, okay, that's enough. One of these little guys, we can't deal with another one if he's anything like little Bobby. And because I grew up as an only child, I got lots of love. I had a very, very loving family. No complaints whatsoever growing up. But a lot of what I had to do was on my own. And I think some people, and I was absolutely spoiled as a mama's boy. The ideas about only children are often true. They are very, very spoiled because they get all the attention. But I think what we miss sometimes is that even though you're the center of attention of your family, outside of your family, you have to do things that enable you to thrive, right? So I always had to organize things in the neighborhood with my friends. And I used, this wasn't like you hop on the computer and get on, Fortnite and play, games with people, right? This is, you have to call people, you have to go knock on doors, right? So my mindset, when I was going through that tough time, I just applied what I knew. I just was going to do whatever I had to do, push through, listen to the doctors. I mean, I was determined to be the best cancer patient I could possibly be. And everything that I did was to the T by the book, right? So to bring it full circle, in order to process this, I had to realize that, yes, I did everything that the doctors told me to do, and I did everything that everyone suggested for me. I was trying to be the best cancer patient, but I could not have done any of that without the people around me. A, the doctors. I mean, modern medicine is amazing, Rye, right? I mean, the fact that I'm here is amazing, that I'm even alive. But in addition to that, my family, my friends, the people on my teammates, believe it or not, they may not even know this, but if it wasn't for them, I would have been a nutcase, because I needed to express myself. I needed to do things. My oncologist is a very smart gentleman. He told me, you cannot sit and wallow in your sorrows of chemotherapy. You have to do something. So in order to process all of that, I didn't realize it. It took me years, and I needed to sit down with different people in my life and just talk about it, just express myself and have them ask me questions and say, so what was it like to do this? What did you do in this scenario? My cousin, I had a conversation with my cousin recently. He was on the one of the podcasts that I host, and he was telling me this story. Now, he has cystic fibrosis, which is a chronic respiratory and digestive disorder. Affects your immune system greatly. He turned 30 today. So he's a bit younger.
Amazing.
Amazing. But he shouldn't have been around either. But I tell you this because I look back on what my parents and his parents, so we're at my uncle's house most of this time, right? So my mom and his dad are siblings, and they coordinated. I cannot even explain to you, Rye. They made sure that we spent time together. No matter what we felt like, there were days where I would have a horrible day of chemotherapy and I'd go to bed early and not want to wake up early. They encouraged him to knock on my door and wake me up early so I wasn't just suffering all day. So I could spend time with him playing video games and just kind of wallowing in our sorrows together. And so I had to think about it. I needed someone to ask me about these things for me to actually realize that even happened.
Wow, that's so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Sure.
Now, I had a chance to look at your website, and you provide so much inspiration through podcasts and other channels. And I'm curious, I think that anybody that's building a business or in business development, there are these unknown blocks in our mind, right? There's these things that either trigger some level of self-doubt or some level of performance that's less than optimal. And so I think we can all appreciate and get significant value by the work that you're sharing. And so I'd love for you to share with us a little bit about that work, how we find that, consume that, and how do any of us here, how do we engage with you more?
I appreciate you talking about the things that we're doing. We're trying to be inspirational in one light and But at the same time, we're also trying to be educational and provide people with actionable steps, right? I mean, it's one thing to listen to great stories and to read books and understand things and improve our knowledge. But in order to increase our wisdom, we have to take action. We have to experience. And so that's one of the things that we like to talk about on the podcast, Speaking of Impact, or in the eImpact blog. We're trying to provide people with actionable steps to do things. And I always think about this. If I didn't try to do most of the things in my life that you may consider successful, if I didn't try them and fail and figure it out, I wouldn't have the wisdom to understand how to move forward. So I'm not sure that's answering your question, but ultimately that's what we're trying to do. That's my mission at this point, because I know that if I wouldn't have taken that leap, trying to do the things that I maybe was a little bit uncomfortable with, right? And my medical situation is honestly a small example of it. That was almost easy to do because I was just told what to do. I was relying on those other people. But business owners, entrepreneurs, people trying to start something great, they have a passion about something, right? So that passion is going to carry you through. And those tough times, those are just what I call success hurdles. You got to jump over something to be successful.
I love that. Success hurdles. What a great analogy, because it's true. The only thing between you and the finish line is a couple of jumps. So yeah. I love that. That's beautiful. So what is the best way for us to connect with you? What is your website, Bob?
Website's bobdepasquale.com. And I'm very active on the socials. So if you want to catch me at BDPA, that's BDEPA. And you can catch me Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. That's the best place to speak with me and just reach out. I mean, you have questions, ideas. I'd love hearing other people's stories. So let's talk.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing this space with us this morning.
You're welcome, Rye. I appreciate it, man. Love what you guys are doing.
And of course, we're so grateful to all of you for tuning in to another episode here on How We Scaled with Jeff Brandeis Coaching and Training. Look forward to seeing you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.